This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast. Chris and Alan will be sharing unique and raw insight on what it takes to succeed. Both hosts are authors and businessmen and have been mentoring and consulting for their clients for over 50 years with their combined knowledge. So, without further ado, we have an exciting show for you today. Let's get started.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumby with Think Bold, Be Bold. And I'm here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. And we've got a great guest today. Alan, are you there?
I am. I'm running between the raindrops in order to get here. It is really nasty here in Portland. I know it's probably sunny where you are. It usually is. How's it going today, Chris?
Well, it's, you know, what I always say is the sun is always shining behind the clouds. So, Alan, it's okay if it's raining up there in Portland. At least it's not snow, because I hear that a lot of the Northeast is definitely, you know, getting enough of that lately. So anyway, Alan, you know, we've had some great shows, and I'm particularly excited about this show because this is a man that, you know, I have a lot of respect for. I've followed, and he's, you know, connected with so many amazing people, and it really shows, and it shines, and it, you know, he is a carer, a giver, and he has been kind enough to take an hour of his time out for us today, and really bring out, you know, what I always call the genius zone, and I'm excited, but, you know, like all shows, I'd like to give you the unique pleasure to introduce our guest today, and we'll just get right into it.
Well, I thank you, sir. Appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, I too. I mean, I'm pretty humbled by the guests that we have had to date, and today is no exception. Our guests are increasing in size and notoriety and reach and growth and exposure and experience, and you know, we're honored by that. And today's the same. A lot of things happening in the world today, and there's a few people out there making a real big difference, not only in their arena, but in the arena of the entrepreneur. And our guest today definitely has that badge. Talking about a professional author, somebody that has built a life in real estate, built a life in law, built a life in helping other people alleviate stress and challenges and build a life worthy of the reason that they were born. This gentleman, pretty amazing, the things that he's accomplished, and I'm excited to chat about him. I'm excited to get him into the mix here. So without further ado, and we have a little drum roll. I wish we had an audience to clap for you, but Greg Hague's in the house. Greg, welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold show.
Hey, it is my absolute pleasure to be here, Chris and Alan. Thank you, and I am so excited. Think Bold, Be Bold. First of all, what a super cool name for a show. I absolutely love it. And by the way, speaking of the weather, and I guess you said it's raining in Portland, et cetera. Well, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and every day is a sunny day just about here. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks pretty nice. I'm seeing it looks pretty nice where you're at.
Yeah, I bet. I can see the sunshine as well. But, you know, Greg's in the house, and, you know, this is really exciting day for us. You know, Alan, we talked about this leading up to it, and, you know, scheduling and getting Greg's time is not always easy, but we managed, and he has a great staff to be able to do that. Greg, I just want to get right into it because, you know, I know the, you know, audience is going to be excited about your story, and it's certainly a story because you've had an adventure, if you want to call it, through your life and a journey. And, you know, that's what I want to do, roll back the time a little bit for you, if you want to call it what our friend Daniel Hall calls it, the way back clock, or the way back machine, I think. Yeah, the way back machine. Greg, listen, you're larger than life, but I know there was a beginning. And that beginning probably had some, what we always call some struggle. And I want you to roll back and tell us about that journey, because it's an amazing one at that. And, you know, again, tell us where you were, where you are, and most of all, what I get excited about, what's your vision? And I'm just going to zip it and listen, because I know you've got a lot to share, and we're going to give you every moment to be able to do that.
Well, thanks, Chris. First of all, I am quite sure the larger in life thing is not the case. Very nice compliment. Thank you. But, you know, when I get up early in the morning and I trundle my way out to the garage and in my boxer shorts to work out, and I'm feeling miserable, and it's like, am I really going to do this for another day, this workout? And I somehow power my way through it. Believe me, the last thing I feel like is larger than life. Trust me. But, well, my backdrop, I don't know how far back you want to go with me. The show, if we go too far back, the show might go on many hours. So it happens when you get a little older.
Whatever you think is relevant.
Yeah, what's relevant? Well, my backdrop quickly, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. My dad, who has passed away many years ago, was so proud of. My dad grew up without many of the advantages that I had. He was a single, his dad passed away when he was three, so his single mom brought him up, had a high school education, was a fighter pilot instructor in World War II. After World War II, he and mom got married, and he so wanted to succeed. He wanted to have a big life, and he had none of the advantages. You see, he had no money, he had no open doors, he had no education. He went to a mediocre public high school, and yet he had a hunger for success. And through simply hard work and what I call being smart, and one of the things I talk a lot about when I do my presentations is the difference between being educated and being smart. My dad was not educated, but wow, was he smart. And so what happened as I was growing up, my dad became very successful in real estate through a combination of learning to be smart and incredibly hard work. And I tell a story on my blog, Savvy Dad website, where I write my fathering stories. It's called The Green Couch. And it's how my father, I would sometimes wake up in the morning to go to school, and dad would be driving in the driveway, having spent the night at his real estate office all night. And he had this green couch in the corner. He would sometimes take naps on that. And the reason he came home in the morning was to shave, take my sister and me to school, and then go back to work. So we're talking the major league work ethic. Nothing. I believe I've worked hard all my life, but nothing like that. So I was inspired to go back again. I was inspired by the work ethic of my dad. I was inspired by seeing a person who didn't have the big education be able to get out there and still make it. And then, you know, the truth is that because of my dad's hard work, because he valued me and my sister so much, I was able to have a good education. I went to college, law school. As you point out, I passed the bar exam. I am an attorney. And I think that the foundation of the success that I've had, for whatever that is, and I'm not one to judge myself, that's up to other people, has been a combination of three things. Certainly, having a good education is better than not. But seeing my dad work the way he did, having him instill, quite frankly, that work ethic in me, and then getting a sense for what the difference is, Chris and Alan, between education and smarts. I don't think a lot of people really understand that. I think they equate being educated, school educated, with being smart. And oh, there is such a difference. You see, when I graduated from law school, I thought I was smart. And I went out, started my own real estate firm, had a lot of success for two or three years. And then I got caught in the 20% interest rates back in 1980 and lost everything. And it wasn't just because of the interest rates. It's because I had made a lot of not smart moves. And the education, I realized, was just not, the success isn't all about that. So I fell on my face and had to start over. And that was very rough, because I had, I thought I was a big important person. I thought I was a big man on campus. I wore Brooks Brothers suits and vicuna coats and back in Cincinnati. And I belonged to the Bankers Club and Hyde Park Country Club and all these things. And I had the big ego. And I don't know if you ever heard of Jerry Springer. Remember Jerry Springer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when he was running for mayor, I was his campaign manager when Jerry Springer was running for manager. I don't know that I can share that story here, but because he did something you wouldn't want to be doing while you're running for office, he didn't make it, and that changed the trajectory of his career. Point is, having lost everything and having to start over was a real humbling experience for me, but, oh my gosh, best thing that could have ever happened. I would have never had the kind of life that I've had as a result of that, and I will won't belabor this. I'll let you ask some questions, but what that taught me, the go-to, is, and this is one of the things I teach a lot when I do my personal development talks, what I lack in smarts, I make up for in effort. What I lack in opportunity, I make up for in effort. What I lack in open doors, I make up for in effort. What I lack in money, I make up for in effort. You can just about make up for anything in effort. And I don't think people get that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they realize that you can have those things you want. You can reach those dreams. It's just a matter of how much effort are you willing to put in?
Wow, that is just a fantastic opening, Alan.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. What a fantastic opening! And you know, again, I couldn't agree more, Greg, with effort. You know, similar to a struggle or what you want to call falling on your back or butt, whatever hurts more. It certainly happened through my life as well. And you know, one thing I have a wrestling background, and I always say that as a wrestler, you never want to stay on your back too long, and that gives you that courage to stand up again and go at it. And I think and I can salute you for that because I know exactly, but. You know, efforts, I truly believe, a lot of people don't understand that concept, but when you're consistent and persistent, you can overcome a lot of resistance and, you can walk up that mountain as high as it has to, that it is in front of you sometimes, but, there are a lot of true stories when you, continue to go on. It's amazing when you look down how far you've come. So, thank you for sharing that story and about your dad, because certainly my dad's my inspiration as well. And I love the green couch, I should say.
Right.
That is just awesome, and I'm going to have to get myself acquainted with that. And, listen, you wrote a really cool book, and I do want to bring it up because I'm a father, and a lot of what I do is, for that, and, my children especially, and coming through adversity in life. That's what my book is about, The Success Playbook, and I wrote it for my children, give them some insight to, the things that I've learned along the way, not only being an entrepreneur, but growing up. And I wanted to pass that on. I think, everybody should write a book to pass on to their family or their kids if they have some. But most importantly, I want to talk about your book because it sends chills down me, on some of the comments that, Harvey McKay, Tom Hopkins, that they say about the book, Mark Victor Hansen, for example, and they said some wonderful things about your book. How Fathers Change Lives. Can you fill us in on, where that inspiration came from? I obviously heard that you had a lot of regard for your dad. But tell us about that book and what that book, represents for the audience, if you can, Greg?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when presentations, I talk about, one of the things I talk about is clarity. One of the things that people need to succeed in life is having absolute clarity. I have basically five things that I teach. And in the clarity front, I talk about clarity of purpose, clarity of process, and clarity of person. So this relates to clarity of person. I look forward and you picture this big room. And it has super high ceilings and flowers all over and maybe a couple hundred people there. And they're all sitting looking forward. And up in the front of the room, there's a box. And in that box is me. And what I think about is, what do I want people to think about me that day? Because that's when my time is over. What do I want them to be saying about me? And it's really cool. People say, hey, Greg Hague, he was a really smart real estate guy, and he was really this and really that. But if they never said any of that, nothing about success, and all they said was just this, that Greg Hague, he was just one heck of a husband to Roseanne. He was an amazing friend. He was somebody you could call at 3 a.m. and he'd be there for you. And, oh my gosh, what a remarkable dad. He worked his butt off at being a father. May not have been the smartest dad, made a lot of mistakes. We all do as dads, we know that. But boy, he worked at fathering. Those three things, being a good husband, being a good friend, being a good father. So the inspiration behind that book was because I talked earlier about how important my dad was to me and how many lessons he taught me. And the subject of my next book and what I talk about in my presentations is a concept called smartsmanship. Smartsmanship. That's a trademark term that I developed, and it's one-sentence rules to help you make better decisions, fewer mistakes, and know what to do when others don't have a clue. And they're like thinking guides. They're just ones, and they have been transformational to me. My dad got me started, and then I've developed some. So the book, going to the book, How Fathers Change Lives. What I thought is that I see a lot of dads when they're younger. And when I mean younger dads, younger kids, you know, the kids are 5 years old, 8 years old, 12 years old, whatever. That's, in my view, younger dad, younger kids. Well, what I observed as I got older and my kids got into their 20s is that a lot of the fathers around me, my friends, weren't intensively fathering their kids. Kind of natural. The kids get older, they go to college, well, then they go off and get married, and, oh, I mean, you still love them, and they're still this, but you're not doing the kind of intensive fathering you might do when they're younger. And I thought, you know, I think that kids need, as they get older, may need more intensive fathering than when they're young. But a different kind of fathering. It's not their, you know, the, hey, I love you and it's wonderful and all this stuff and let's do small talk. Of course they need that. But something even at a higher level, something where you teach them the kind of things that my dad taught me that have made such a difference in my life that really at 7, 8, 9 years old he couldn't have taught me. But when I was 18, 20, 21, 23, 25 years old, and we talked 5, 6 times a week, and he used every talk as a way to, you know, impart some wisdom in me. So what that book is about is not me trying to preach to fathers how to be a better father. I don't feel qualified to do that. I think I've been a good father. I sure work at it. But what it is, here was the concept behind the book and why I believe it became so popular, is that I spent a year, and actually my son Brian and my wife Roseanne, the three of us, collaborated on the book. I just happened to be the lucky one that, you know, gets my name up there as the major author. But it was really a work of the heart by Roseanne and by my son Brian. And the idea was to go around and ask kids what the greatest adventure and greatest lesson they ever learned from their dad was. Wow. Now, interesting, when I say kids, don't think kids that are 12 or 15 or 18. They were as young as 8 and as high as 82. Wow. So obviously, in a lot of cases, the kids, fathers that long passed away. But that's not the point. The idea was to ask people, what's the greatest adventure you had with your dad and the greatest lesson you learned from your dad? And then to share that on my Savvy Dad website, savvydad.com, and then take the best of those stories and share those stories in the book, How Fathers Change Lives. So what I'm really doing in that book is, unlike most books, I'm not the one who's just saying, hey, here's a whole book about everything I know and you should learn it. It's rather, I did share a story of my dad, actually a couple. My sons each shared a story about me, what they thought the greatest lesson they learned from me and the coolest adventure. And then we have 35, 40, 45 other kids sharing those same things. So the book is really a book of fathering as told by children, that here's the best thing I learned from my dad. And the idea behind it was, if you're a dad, to read that book. By the way, it's great because it's potty reading. You know, it's like 3 pages, 4 pages each. You can read it pretty quick. And to get a broad look at what kids are saying, not the dads are saying, but the ones who are impacted are saying about, here's what you should be doing to be a great father. So that was the concept behind the book.
Fantastic. And, you know, I have 4 children, and I love the fact that you said kids from 8 to 82. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that, you know, we could be children for, you know, our kids or like-minded in that regard for, you know, as old as we want. And, you know, my children range from, my youngest Bennett is 9 months old. My Coleman is 2.5. My Ellie is 9 this year. And my oldest son is 23 this year. So I've got a broad spectrum, but I love the aspects of what you just talked about. And certainly going to get my hands. In fact, I already downloaded it. To read through, and like you said, they're short and sweet, and you can get through it. But fantastic! Thanks for sharing that, Greg. It's great to know that gentlemen like yourself are out there sharing some of these things that can inspire people, and specifically dads. And SavvyDad.com, I love that. Alan, take us away.
Yeah, fantastic, Greg. I mean, you've got a way of taking your business savvy and bringing your kids in and bringing your kids along the way and encouraging others to do the same thing. And I think that's something that all entrepreneurs can use, that should do, that should show and expose not just all of their successes, but some of their setbacks and their challenges. And we talk about ethics in business, and that's a big course in college and in the professional world. But there's also something else I like to talk about, and that is transparency in business. And I think along the way, transparency has always been ruled as vulnerability, and vulnerability is always a bad thing in business, whatever your business might be. But I think maybe that's not the case. I think maybe the more vulnerable you can be, the more transparent you are, the more relatable that you are. And the more relatable that you are, the more that you're going to be able to connect with people, and they're going to be able to see more than just your offerings. And you've gone... or your life is, you're the number one, you scored number one in the Arizona bar exam, if I'm understanding that correctly. And you've got 122 national real estate office franchises. And you've also had a point in your life where you needed to sell your son's coat to pay bills. And I say that, I don't say that tongue in cheek. I've been there. I know what that's like. And my kids were right in the middle of that and watched that and saw that struggle. Tell us a little bit about the struggle of the entrepreneur and the fact that it's okay to share part of that journey.
Well, you covered a lot of ground there with respect to transparency. You see, I think that business is about interacting with people who you like and trust and who like and trust you. And while there's certainly a place for selling from the perspective that you explain what you have, you advocate what you have, that's okay, that's totally cool. I'm all about also being positional, saying why what I have is better than what's out there, never being personal. But this vulnerability, this transparency, you see, I agree with you. When people see who you really are, when people understand your backstory, one of my videos, one of the things I talk about in my live presentations is this idea of, in real estate, because I have a coaching company, realestatemavericks.com, and I have agents all over the world now, Australia, Canada, who we coach and I produce videos for. And one of the things I teach them is it is so critical to start every presentation. And this would be true in any business, not just real estate, any what we'll call a presentation where you're talking to people about why they should either buy what you have or do business with you, with your backstory. What is your backstory? What are you all about? I mean, it's briefly, they don't want to hear 30 minutes probably, but a minute or two of why you are where you are, why you're, the why, the Apple why, the Simon Sinek why you are doing what you're doing other than to make a living and put bread on the table. And so this idea of vulnerability, transparency, to me, that's everything. That's powerful. Number one, it's right. It's right to let people see who you are. And number two, it's powerful to let people see who you are as a person and as a business. And this backstory, I even talk about some of the themes that you might think about in terms of what your backstory will look like and how it'll resonate with people. You certainly want to be dead accurate, but there's the loss and redemption theme where you've lost it all and redeemed yourself. There are a number of themes like that. I learned many of those from reading books about storytelling, etc. But bottom line is that to me is everything. Letting people see into who you are as a person and what you are as a business.
Perfect. Great answer. I really resonate with that, and I think the whole audience will too. I can see, I can just imagine all these heads shaking.
Mine was.
I can see everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
And then just to finish up the $6 coat story and selling my son's coat. Yeah, that was a very, very, very tough time in my life. I had worked very hard. I had built a big business, and I lost it all when interest rates went to 20%. Back in 1980, I had put everything into that business, my heart, my soul, and all my money, and every nickel that came in back into it to grow it. I was so proud of it. I'm proud of myself. I worked 12, 14-hour days. My wife today, Roseanne, she worked side by side with me way back then. We've been together a long time, and we weren't married then, but lost everything and had to sell everything to pay bills. And what happened is the $6 coat story is that we had a yard sale to sell the stuff that we had. And my son, Brian, who I mentioned before, helped me write the book and works together with me in Real Estate Mavericks. I believe he was 4 or 5 years old at the time. And he had a blue coat, you know, blue winter coat. And this was in the winter in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was cold and it was snowy. And the yard sale was going on. And it was not a particularly happy time, having to sell everything and start over. And Brian came up to me and said, Dad, while the yard sale is going on, I can't seem to find my coat. I put it on the banister there. So I said, geez, I don't see it there. So I walk over to the neighbor who's helping us with the yard sale here inside the home. Walked over to the neighbor, and she says, oh, Greg, that coat is Brian. She said, the people driving away just bought it. And this is my son's coat. It wasn't for sale, actually. It's his coat. And they bought it. And I asked the silliest question. This is so stupid. I said, how much? And she said, $6. And I have to tell you, personally, that was one of the low points of my life, realizing that because of my reversal and because of some of the mistakes I'd made, being undercapitalized, not saving money to be able to withstand a storm that I didn't expect, that my son's coat got sold for $6. So that was a rough time back then. But it made me stronger. And as I told you before the show, I am so glad it happened, because I do not believe I would have had the robust, rich life that I've had were it not for that.
Yeah, I can totally relate. Been in that situation, and you're right. It's a game changer. You know, I don't wish that on anybody. I don't wish that people have to go through that. But it is a very, you know, viable piece of life for a lot of people in today's economy. And
yes, it is.
It's relatable and it's real. And if you can come out on the other side of that with some humility and with some grace and with some opportunity of value to give people, then I think everybody wins.
And with the mindset, as I said before, that what I lack in money, I'll make up for an effort. What I lack in smarts, I'll make up for an effort. You know, and another thing, don't look back. You're not going that way. Don't look back. You're not going that way. And regret, I learned this back then, regret is the past crippling the future. Regret is the past crippling the future. And you just can't let that happen. If you're an entrepreneur in particular, you cannot let that happen, because you're going to have reversals. You're going to make mistakes. That's just as endemic to entrepreneurism. If you're not going out and pushing out hard enough. And consequently, you just, number one, can't look back other than to learn, you know, other than to learn. And you can't regret. You just move forward.
Super words.
Yeah, for sure. And there's some wisdom there. You know, I hope everybody has their journal and their pen out, because this is certainly some great information.
Yeah. I
just have not stopped writing, just because, again, any opportunity that I can learn, and I'm, you know, a big advocate that you have to be constantly a learner in life and stay teachable. And that's one of the keys. And, you know, one of the things you brought up, hitting some rock bottom, is that it was temporary. It was temporary, Greg. When you looked at it and you got through it, and you look back today, and you can, you know, somewhat laugh about it and get yourself, you know, from that mindset that, you know, got you there. And certainly, you mentioned it. It's the mindset that got you where you are too right now. And I know that we all have things that happen. And, you know, when that happened, and you know, you coach people now. You obviously believe in coaching because it's part of your business. It's what you, you know, work with other real estate people on and certainly help them go after the things they want. Give us some insight on coaching in particular, because I think, you know, for anybody out there listening today, you know, they might be contemplating, you know, finding a coach to help them with something that they want to endeavor on or, you know, get to a new level. And again, I'm a big advocate of expanding your, you know, your knowledge by using other people's. And, you know, that's the best way to, you know, accomplish things is that you don't have to know everything. You just got to find people that, you know, have some of that knowledge and can help you with that. You know, mentorship, you know, cult coaching, somewhat similar, but very different. Give us your take on, you know, that aspect, because, you know, I know you do it and there's an importance behind it. Maybe you can let our audience know what that importance is.
Yes, happy to do that. Well, to me, and there are a lot of coaches in the world who coach a lot of different things, but to me, coaching involves two components. Component one is the specific area in which you coach professionally, and with me, that would be real estate. The other is, I believe, whether you're coaching in real estate or any other professional area, that you also need to have a component of what is typically known as life coaching. But for me, I have a different characterization. I see it a bit differently. I see it as smart coaching, because regardless of the profession you're in, and we'll use real estate as an example, you cannot be successful in real estate by just knowing real estate strategy. You just can't do it. You've got to understand business. You've got to be smart. And I talked earlier about this difference between being educated and being smart. And so I talk about things like this. For example, to be successful in real estate, and we'll put aside the real estate teaching, we'll talk about the smart kind of teaching. Number one, you have to understand you have to have clarity. You have to have absolute clarity every morning when you wake up. And I teach these three clarities: clarity of purpose, clarity of process, and clarity of person. And in a nutshell, and I talk a lot about this on the stage when I'm doing personal development talks as well as real estate talks, is how can you really move forward as an entrepreneur, move forward in life, move forward in real estate, move forward in whatever you're in without absolute clarity? And I don't mean like clarity about I want to accomplish, make so much money. I mean all the way down to every single phone call you make. You need to have absolute clarity about purpose. What it is am I going to accomplish on this phone call? Process, what am I going to say to get that done? And then person, what do I want that person on the other end of the phone to think about me when we hang up? That is critical to me. You can't, every day, maybe 10, 15 times a day, with people I meet, everybody I meet, every phone call that's made, when I see a phone call coming into my cell and I see who it is, I quickly think about the clarity. What is my clarity with this person? And particularly when I'm making that. So going to lunch with a friend. Think about this. You say, well, what kind of clarity do you need there? You're just having a relaxing lunch with a friend. Well, absolute clarity. Clarity that this is just about friendship. We're not going to talk business. We're not going to try to sell anything. It's purely about friendship. Absolute clarity. And so that's clarity of purpose. What would be the clarity of process? Well, make darn sure that I talk about that. And when we're done, then I give my friend a big hug. And I tell my friend how much I value him or her as a friend. You know, that is clarity of process and purpose, you know, in something as simple as a lunch from a friend. So, you know, I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about fear. I think a lot of people, you know, we all know that fear holds people back, but there are two kinds of fear. There's two kinds of things that cause fear. There's the kind of thing that maybe you ought to be afraid of, and that is that you're out in the jungle and it's at night and you're in Africa and you get eaten by a lion. Well, I'd be afraid too, and I don't know how much you can do about that, but most of the fear that holds us back isn't about that. You know, what that's about is what I call a mental bruise, fear of embarrassment, fear of failure, fear of rejection, particularly when you're in sales. And gosh, aren't we all in sales? I mean, aren't we all in sales? Whatever it is, even when we're fathering, we're trying to sell our kids on doing certain things.
Or they're selling us.
Selling you, exactly. So this idea of, many years ago studied and thought a lot about fear. And at least for me, I kind of figured out what it was and a way to really not just overcome fear, but rather excel in the face of fear. And so to fear to me, and I'm talking about these components. You say, you know, what do you teach? How do you mentor? How do you coach?
Absolutely.
So I talk a lot about fear to the real estate agents I coach, because the number of people they don't meet, the number of doors they don't knock, the number of calls they don't make, the number of things they don't do because of fear that they'll be embarrassed or rejected or this or that, they got to get over that. And so I talk about what is fear. So think about this. Isn't fear really your mind fast forwarding to whatever it is you're afraid of and seeing it turn to crap, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing it go badly. It goes south. So, you know, to use a dramatic example, because a lot of people don't get on stages and speak, but the typical, one of the biggest fears in life is getting up in front of people and speaking, other than for those of us who speak. And, you know, we get to the point that we just love it. We can't wait.
Right.
But, hey, it wasn't that way in the early days. I mean, are you kidding me? The first time when I was teaching Dale Carnegie back, I used to be a Dale Carnegie instructor, and I first got going in it. Oh, my gosh, my heart was racing. My hands were sweaty. And that was getting up in front of 15 people in a little class, for God's sake, not like 1,000 or 2,000 people. So,
sure.
So, but it's your mind fast-forwarding seeing things go badly. So the two ways that I prepare, that I overcome or excel in the face of fear is, number one, realizing that the more you prepare, the less your fear will be. And you just, so instead of worrying, what you do is prepare. You just dig and double and triple and quadruple and 10x prepare. Then, as you're preparing, you're visualizing just the opposite of what fear is. You're fast-forwarding your mind. Instead of seeing the people in the room, let's say you're giving a talk. Let's say we're talking to someone in high school, and you have to give a presentation there to your high school, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe the class, this is awful, the hands are sweating, and I remember with my kids it was that way. So what I say is, don't visualize the people in the room half falling asleep, working on playing with their phone, and half of them going out to the bathroom halfway through. On the opposite, visualize them being totally riveted. Mm-hmm. Visualize that. Having them just like, oh my gosh, and taking notes like crazy, being intrigued. And when it's all over, kids in a classroom who would never normally get up, they all get up and applaud because it's just so amazing what you're doing. And to visualize that, and the combination of visualizing success, not things going south, but success, combined with triple preparedness. I mean, triple preparedness. That's the way not just to overcome fear, but excel in fear. So those are just two examples when you coach and mentor. So when I coach and mentor, I talk about a lot of concepts like that. I even talk about the definition of happiness. I think people need to get their arms around what happiness really is. I know that when I started having a lot of financial success after my reversal, I'd worked so hard for it, I started buying stuff. And I'm embarrassed to say that at one point, I was proud at the time, embarrassed today. I had two airplanes, 9 motorcycles, and 3 really big buck cars. And I had to hire somebody just to keep the batteries charged. And at the time, I thought that made me really cool, that I could have all this stuff. And of course, today I look back and realize that's just not the case at all. But what it was interesting, because I was having lunch with a friend, his name is Bruce, and I told him, you know, Bruce, it's interesting. I have everything I've always wanted, but I'm not as happy as I was when I was going for it. And this is after I'd had reversal and recovered and really became successful financially. And he said, Greg, it's because you don't understand the definition of happiness. Yeah. And I said, well, what's that? He said, Greg, happiness is that deep sense of satisfaction that comes from the enthusiastic pursuit of a worthwhile goal of your own choosing. And he said, people confuse happiness and pleasure. They think eating cake, watching TV, going out to a movie, that makes them happy. No way. He said, that's cool. It's fun. It's okay. It's pleasures. But if you don't have that purpose that wakes you up with fire in your belly in the morning, something that drives you all day long, something that makes you say, no, I'm not even going to turn on the TV. Why? Because I'm so excited about moving forward in my purpose. He said, you're not going to be happy. And that's what's happened to you. You're consumed with buying stuff to be happy. And that's just pleasures. Back before you had made it, particularly after your reversal, when you were trying to climb back, you woke up every morning with big purpose and you were totally happy. But that's not the case anymore. So going back to finish up in my coaching and mentoring, of course I teach real estate strategies. But I also teach life strategies and smart strategies and how to think, in my view, in the right way, at least the things that made a difference for me, Alan and Chris.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, you brought up a really good point, and I want to make sure we highlight it because I think it's important for everybody to realize something. As I was listening to you, it's not about what happened to you and, you know, let's call it a failure. You actually called it my reversal. Yeah. And I just love that because that is the mindset that you shifted and created a new paradigm about it. Yes. And you actually looked at life being, you know, as a lesson, you pivoted and you, you know, continued on that pursuit. And thank you for sharing that because, and I did want to point that out because I want everybody to realize that, listen, things are going to happen to you, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're, you know, well on your way to doing things on your own and you're forced to think about things more so than, you know, just maybe going to a career every day. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's a lot of support in those areas. But I know that, you know, true entrepreneurship takes the ability to think for yourself. And that ability to continue going forward is such an important aspect. And I want everybody, you know, on the call or on this show today to, or who's listening, I should say, to really took that, you know, take that point of view in life. You know, I certainly just created a new way of looking at things, my reversal, because that's exactly how I feel. And never really, you know, let's say pointed that out to myself. I talk about setbacks, but you know, again, the reversal is such a more, I guess, a more powerful way to look at it, and it just really taught me something today. So I just wanted to make that point, Greg, and I really appreciate the story, and thank you for sharing, you know, what your view is on coaching, and I agree. You know, listen, clarity is a big thing. If you know who you are, you'll know where you're going, and that's what I teach. I teach you have to know yourself, because when you know yourself, you'll have that epiphany of life, that you have, you know, created this purpose in your life. And, you know, when you get up every day and you get excited about, you know, what that is, yeah, I agree with you. That's the happiness. And that's the things that, you know, are true. Alan, this is amazing.
It's amazing. I've got a bunch of things I want to ask.
Let's go.
What I want. I feel like we're all three students sitting around a round table in a classroom. And Greg, as I listen to everything that you're talking about, I see this consummate student mindset just resonating from you, constantly planning, constantly trying to keep clear of what your purpose and what you're trying to do for yourself and what you're trying to do for others. Are you finding in, especially when you're building teams, and you build a lot of teams, especially in real estate, how student mindsetted are the people when it comes to really learning how to build a team? Are they coming into their process of building their own teams with their own thoughts and ideas, or are they open to what is working? Are they open to being a student? Because I think that's really important in any kind of business is to be a consummate student. Are you, what are you finding out in your travels and in your experiences of building teams about people being student mindsetted?
Well, I can't answer from the perspective of an overview of all the thousands of teams that exist in real estate, from small teams, I mean, just agent teams, to brokerages, and what percentage might be more student mindsetted or otherwise. I can tell you from my perspective. I view a team, and I've had many of them over the years, from large brokerages, 4,000 agents, 121 offices, to a small team of agents working with me and in other businesses, that to me, teaming up is about working together, sharing ideas, and the student mindset is everything, because the idea is we share and we learn, and we share and we learn, and I was fortunate a few months ago to meet Jean-Paul DeJario. I founded Paul Mitchell Systems and Patron Spirits. He, you know, owns Patron Spirits. And I remember we were chatting and he said to me, he said, Greg, I asked him because Sky is worth like $2.7 billion. Yeah. And so I said, if you just had like one thing to share with me, I mean, what would be the go-to thing? And it's just, wow, listen, he said, Greg, I'll tell you the one go-to thing. Success unshared is failure. success unshared is failure. So to me, this teamwork, this team idea, the student mindset is about everyone sharing their success with everyone. Everything you know, you share, and then everything everyone else knows, you absorb. And the whole idea is we're all teaming up with a student and a mentoring mindset. It's both. Mm-hmm. Freely share every single thing you know, and don't be an idiot and think you know it all. So have the student mindset. Well, you know, one of my lines that I think it's in my book and I talk a lot about on the stage is, it's really dumb to think you're smart. It's really dumb to think you're smart. Okay, so
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is, and by the way, I have that trademark.
So I love it.
I'm a lawyer too, right? So but you see, feel free to use it. Success unshared is failure. And like today, the things I'm sharing, I get paid a lot of money to get on a stage and talk about. But whatever, it's not about that. It's just about everything I've got inside that could help you, your listeners. I mean, I'm here to share it. And that's what Paul DiGiorgio was saying to me, success unshared is failure. So getting back to your question on this student mindset and building teams, I simply look at it as a combination of a full-out mentoring mindset, sharing every single thing you know, mm-hmm. combined with a full-out student mindset, being open-minded, because it's really dumb to think you're smart.
Perfect. That's full awesome. Collaboration. I like that. And I think I think we're in the era of collaboration. I think everybody's realizing that, hey, no longer is it, can I do it by myself? Am I the CEO and I've got 1,000 people and I know it all?
Right.
You know so much. It's the collaboration and the student mindset. So I think that's the era that we're in. And you just validated everything that I think is important in business development when it comes to the collaboration piece. So thanks for validating that, and thanks for the great story.
Yeah, well, totally. I mean, I don't know if I properly expressed it in the beginning of the show, but you guys are such rock stars, and this show, what you're doing, this is such an amazingly good thing. It's no wonder that your podcast is so darn popular out there, and quite frankly, my schedule's tight, as you said. Everybody's schedule tight. We're all busy, and I not only made the time to do this show, I was anxious to do this show because of the good work you guys are doing and the success you're having. And you see, the reason I say the success you're having is you're having the success because you're making an impact, you're making a difference, and you don't have success if that isn't happening. So my thumbs up and congratulations to you guys.
Well, we're honored by that and humbled by that. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Greg. I really appreciate hearing that. And, you know, again, there's a lot to talk about, and we can, you know, will you come back on the show again for us this year? You know, find another 45 minutes to an hour and spend some time with us?
Maybe tomorrow?
be my absolute honor and pleasure to help you guys in any way that I can because of what you're doing out there and helping other people. You betcha.
Thanks. Well, we really appreciate that. And well, you heard it. Greg will be back sometime this year, and we're really excited about that. Now, Greg, I know this is a great time to you know, really let people you know, connect with you, and a great way to do that is, you know, to find you, and today's world, the internet is the place to go. It's greghegg.com, is that correct?
I have that. Actually, I'd prefer, I have several websites.
Sure. Why don't you bring us through that?
Yeah. So, first of all, connect with me on LinkedIn. I view LinkedIn as kind of the go-to place in the professional arena. I have a number of websites for various businesses.
Sure.
But when you go to LinkedIn, you see me. That's really me. Even greghegg.com is more real estate focused, but at my LinkedIn profile, I have a number of videos, talk about me, who I am. Obviously, I have my company. So connect with me on LinkedIn for sure.
Okay.
And quite frankly, if it doesn't sound too selfish, if you like what you heard today, write me 2 or 3 sentences there on LinkedIn, a little recommendation, you know, that says, hey, and I'm proud I am the most recommended trainer on LinkedIn. And so that's pretty cool. So connect with me on LinkedIn. And then my website for real estate, if you are in real estate, interested in real estate, is realestatemavericks.com, and that's with an S, realestatemavericks.com. And even if you're not in real estate, but you own a home, I just introduced a new 22-step formula for selling homes faster and, more importantly, from 3 to 8% more. And do you have just 2 minutes that I could share about
that?
Because
I was actually going to bring that up, Greg.
Yep,
and,
so was I, so go for it.
You were just highlighted in Forbes magazine, is that correct?
Uh-huh. I was in Forbes. I was in a week or so ago, Yahoo Finance.
Right.
And just in this month, my PR person told me I've been in 221 publications around the country. Not because of me, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm there, but it's not like, oh, Greg Hague, he's a cool guy. You know, that'd be pretty cool, but that isn't what it was. It was, so here's the backdrop.
Sure.
Been in real estate all my life, you know that. And it dawned on me that the home selling process, the way that realtors actually go about selling homes, has been the same for 75 years, back in my dad's days. List a home, put up a sign, put it in MLS, do some advertising, and hold open houses. And now you can put more effort and energy into each of those. You can run a lot more ads. You can hold a lot more open houses. But the process, that five-step process, has been identical since my dad's day. It hasn't changed. The only difference in a component is that advertising back in those days was more print media. Now it's more online. That's just a difference in vehicle. So I thought, it's so interesting that Apple puts more thought and strategy into launching a $500 iPhone than we in the real estate industry have put into launching a $500,000 home. We just basically list it and throw it out on the market like a loaf of bread on the shelf. Wow. And I thought, geez, I mean, you know that Apple gets a lot more money for an iPhone with their build-up strategies, getting people excited. Mm-hmm. They stand all in line all night to buy this. They get a lot higher price for the iPhone than if they just put it on the shelf and then said, okay, now it's there, come and buy it. And so I thought, wonder if I could put together, study the smartest retailers in the world, go to seminars, and that's why I studied Brendan and Jeff and all these people, mm-hmm.
right.
and study all these sophisticated marketing techniques, and then because learn those, and then because I have expertise in real estate, import those into real estate with one singular purpose, to help home sellers, tens of thousands of home sellers across the country, actually put their home on a market in a more effective, powerful way to get them a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% more. It's not going to get them 40% more. So I tested it, and the thing, it actually works, and it should. I'm not going to go through some of those, but I have 22 steps in this thing that we've never done in real estate that build buyer anticipation, build buyer excitement, get buyers in a better frame of mind. And the fun story is, just a couple of weeks ago, I was having lunch down at one of the restaurants here in Phoenix, and a friend of mine, well, I'll say who it is, Joe Polish. Joe Polish, you probably know Joe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was there. Yeah. I said hi to Joe. He runs Genius Network. I'm part of his Genius mm-hmm. Network. So kudos, by the way, to Genius Network. If you're not in that and you're an entrepreneur, that's an amazingly cool thing. So Joe told me he's putting his house on the market, and you know, he knows I don't sell homes anymore, and he had a realtor, and I started telling him about this formula. He says, oh gosh, could you coach my realtor? And I said, sure. So we got on I couldn't teach him the whole formula. We got on a call later that afternoon. I was just on a conference call with him, and 20 minutes into, I was just going over some of these things with his realtor, and Joe pulls out his credit card, and he says, I want my realtor to have your course, to have this 22-step formula course. He said, I wanted to sell my home that way. And the client actually pays for the course for the realtor. And so, I mean, and fair up, because, you know, I had paid for Genius Network, so I'm going to take Joe's money. It's totally cool. You know, I wrote the check there. He wrote the check here. But my point is, that's what was featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finances. It's not Greg Hague, such a cool guy, all that. It's Greg Hague may have come up with a formula that's going to change the way America sells homes. And I'm really proud of that. And number one, if you're in real estate, so here's the deal. If you're in real estate, then go to realestatemavericks.com, and that's where you can check it out. And if you're not in real estate, you can go to URL highpricehome.com, and that's where you can download a list of questions that you may want to ask your realtor to make sure they understand some of these more sophisticated marketing strategies that are going to really help you sell faster and sell 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8% more, which, by the way, is a lot of money. Even a $300,000 home, sure. 6% more, it's a lot of money. 18
a lot of money.
Yeah, so that's That's what that publicity was all about.
Well, it was great publicity, and I'll make sure, Greg, as well, outside of this show, that it gets broadcasted through our networks. And, you know, everybody who owns a home would definitely be interested. But,
absolutely.
You know, I think anybody in general would be interested because everybody wants to own a home. So I think that that's something that, you know, we can all look at and learn from. So thank you for sharing that.
And one last thing, or connect with me on LinkedIn and just send me a message. Who's my realtor in an area who has this formula, knows how to do this, and I'll shoot them back, whomever it is, a message, and just let them know who it is.
There you
Perfect.
Go.
Perfect. That was my next question.
So, listen, I'd love to be able to talk all day, and you know, but we respect your time, and we really appreciate you coming on, and we're at that time right now in the show where it is coming to an end, but, you know, we'll get Greg back on. Greg, thank you, you know, from the bottom of my heart. I know I reached out and diligently, and you know, your team is awesome. Kudos to them for facilitating and taking care of this today for us. But again, thank you to the audience, you know, for sitting in and listening to Greg's story and Greg's wisdom, and certainly was today. I certainly have probably about 7 pages of notes, just jotting right through and coming up with some really important things that I know are going to help me. Alan, take us away, and I'll do my final thing. And to you, sir, Greg, I salute you. Thank you very much for doing what you do.
My honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Super. Thank you. You know, we usually ask this one last question as we go, but I think you've given us so much. You've given us so many bold moves today. You don't have to answer another question because you've done a great job, and we'll highlight some of those in the post. But thank you so much for being so generous with your time and being so transparent with your history and what you talk about and how you teach. We're grateful. We know the audience is grateful, and we can't wait to see where you go in the future. We'd like to be part of that somehow. Let us know how we can additionally help you. Have you back on the show. If the things you'd like us to promote, we're more than happy to do that. We want you to connect with our group, a special group inside for all the people that have been on the show. But again, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for helping to grow. Thank you for helping to expand our mission and our reach. We're very grateful and humbled by that.
Thank you.
It's awesome. Take us away.
Well, ditto, and right back at you guys. You know, I'm just going to leave everybody with this. Clarity of purpose, process, and person. And I think that that is the bold move that you can make. You know, Greg, I'll say it for you. You talked about it a lot, and I think that highlighted really well today in clarity. Well, it wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.